Bob Strom joins us now, former Regina Pats head coach and general manager, longtime hockey man around the various leagues. Bob Strom joins us now. Bob, how are you? Thanks for doing this.
Terrific, fellas. Hope you're doing well, too.
We are, and, you know, it's a wonderful week for Canadian baseball. It's a wonderful week for Larry Walker, a wonderful week for the Walker family, a big week for Cooperstown as well. We're making a lot of it here at Sportsnet, as you can very well imagine. Tell us the story, though, Bob, in your own words, of Larry Walker, the goaltender, trying to play for the Regina Pats.
Well, I mean, it's an old story, but it certainly gained me some recent notoriety here. He came to our camp twice, actually. I cut him twice, just to take credit, double credit here. The first year he came, I think was 82. I can tell you a funny story about how he listed Larry Walker. In those days, there was no draft. It was just a list in the West, so you threw who you want. And there was a young defenseman named Rick Herbert, who was a phenom, bantam playing midget out in the West Coast and supposed to be the next one.
Toronto.
And Ricky Herbert's two best friends were Larry Walker and Cam Neely. So in order to accelerate the recruitment of Rick Herbert, we listed Larry Walker. He was Walker and Neely and Herbert were tight. Now, the Portland Winterhawks listed Cam Neely. So we got Rick Herbert and we got a Hall of Fame baseball player, and Portland got a Hall of Fame hockey player.
Was Larry any good at net?
What's that?
Was Larry any good at net?
Oh, Larry Walker was an athlete, man. He was a stud. The first year he came with Herbert and he wasn't ready. Big gangly kid. Big kid for goaltenders in those days, but very active in the net. Billy Smith was his idol, so he tacked and whacked everybody that came near the net. So we sent him back. We kept Ricky Herbert, and Larry will tell you he rode the 15 hours back to Vancouver with Rick's dad.
Oof.
So the next summer I went out to Vancouver and to meet with him, and certainly he was a prospect. He said, come to my baseball game and we'll go for something to eat afterwards. So he was a 16-year-old turning 17, playing in a men's league, he was either playing third base or shortstop. I'm not sure. He made a play from the hole and threw the guy out at first base and then hit a home run in the eighth inning to win the game. And during the course of our conversation, I said to him, Larry, have you ever thought about playing baseball? he said, hey, I want to be an NHL goaltender. So he came to camp, and he was good, but we were deep in goal. And as you know with young goalies, certainly in junior in general, you plan your depth chart. I mean, I'm not going to lie about that. You kind of know who's coming and who's not, and we were pretty deep in goal. So I cut him for a second time in 83, and in 1984 he signed with the Montreal Expos. So I mean, seeing his athleticism on the baseball field and what he's accomplished and a Hall of Famer now, I mean, there's really no doubt in my mind that he probably would have been an NHL goaltender.
You think that given that ability, had he stuck with goaltending, you think he would have had the chance to play in the NHL?
I do.
Wow.
I do. He was big.
Yeah.
For his for that era. And he was nasty. And out of the Ronnie Hextall mode. He played in both blue and white games in 82 and 83. But we probably didn't give him a long enough look at the second camp. As I said, we were pretty deep in goal. We had a hell of a team in 84. I hate to bring it up, but we lost in game 7 of the league final. It's just one of those misses, swing and a miss, man. That's what it was.
So who would you consider, the best player to play for Regina to make the NHL since your time being there?
Oh, wow. We had tons of guys. We had great players. Certainly Gary Lehman 49 or 50 for the Maple Leafs. Dougie Wickenheiser, as a physical specimen and as a junior player, was head and shoulders above everybody else, went first overall in the draft to Montreal. I really believe to this day, not to be critical, but, you know, Montreal misused him by sitting him. And Dougie was a guy, you had to tell him how good he was every day. And you know, he was like a thoroughbred horse. You had to let him eat when he wanted and sleep when he wanted. You know, he was, as a physical specimen and as a player, probably the best we ever had. But we had lots of first-round picks. You know, Garth Butcher played a long time in the league, and on and on and on. Dale Durkach, I mean, he might have been the next best to Wickenheiser. And he was a star today, like an absolute star today at Johnny Gaudreau. But in those days, he was drafted by Edmonton and never got a chance because it was a big boy league at that time.
And you had some tough, I mean, this is the rough and tumble Western Hockey League. This is, you know, as you mentioned, early 80s. And so some of these games tend to take, you know, three and a half hours. You had players like Al Tuer and Stu Grimson. Can you sort of set the scene? Can you mention that Larry Walker was a big fan of Billy Smith and sort of patterned his game after that? He's a big guy and he was tough and he wasn't shy. Describe what the league was like, Bob, back when you coached the Pats.
Please. Was some started in warm-up, yes, you know, and the one year we had the 400 club, we had three guys with more than 400 minutes in penalties.
Yeah.
And you know, it what it was. It's I'm happy to see the game, but no question in those days. So I heard Murray in 79, which is the death.
We're gonna give you a buzz back here in a second, Bob. Your phone's kind of dropping out on us right now. That was a different era of the Western Hockey League.
You know, former Regina Pat Clark Gillies. I'll just throw that name in the mix for tough WHL Regina Pats while we're having that discussion. I mean,
Of course, but I mean, listen, and there was like a lot of high school guys coming out of that Regina, and Dale Durkach is one of those guys. That nobody ever really talks about until you go back. Mike Sillinger would have played there as well with the Regina Pats a little bit later on. But going back to Regina a couple of seasons ago for the 100-year anniversary of the Memorial Cup, you forget exactly how many great players made it to the NHL. And that was always, because this is a, don't forget, the Regina Pats are one of the heritage franchises in the CHL. Like, this goes back to day one. Of junior hockey. We do have Bob Strum back. Sorry, Bob, you were saying something about
the put a man on the moon, fellas, but can't get my phone to work here. Yeah.
That's okay. These things happen. We're not trying to put a man on the moon. Just talk about hockey fights in the Western Hockey League in the early 80s. You were talking about the three players with 400 PIMs.
Yeah. Al Tuer, Mark Centroni, and Jess Crawford. But, I hired Brian Murray in 79-80, as I'm sure you're aware. And our first exhibition game was in Brandon, and we were out warming up, and their guys came by and bumped a couple of our guys, knocked a couple guys down. And Brian looked at me and said, "Is that the way this league is?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "I'm going to like that."
Different era. Listen, we are heavy on time. Bob, thanks so much for stopping by. We appreciate some great stories of Larry Walker.
Yeah, my pleasure. All the best to Larry and his family, and I'm proud of him, and I'm super happy for Canada and for him and his family.